Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace to you. It's a profound thing to speak peace to someone, to speak of that peace that comes only from Jesus. My name is Thomas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and I once heard Jesus speak words of peace to me and my fellow apostles. It was an amazing and life-changing moment. But before I get to that, I would like to file a complaint. I have a bit of a gripe, a bone to pick. As I said, I'm Thomas, and as one of Jesus' disciples, I'm sure many of you have heard of me. Among my friends and disciples, I was known as the twin. But most people today don't remember me as the twin, my original nickname. If I were to ask you who was Thomas or how is he remembered today, I know what you'll say. I'm always referred to as, and you know it, Doubting Thomas. This has become my nickname. And this is my complaint. A guy makes one mistake, and that's what he's remembered for forever. Great. I mean, I know I'm not featured a lot in Jesus' story, which, you know, it's all right. It's cool. Guys like Peter and John, they got a lot more coverage than me, which, again, is, you know, it's okay. But let's be real. The Gospels record plenty of mistakes made by the other disciples too. But are they always and forever known by their mistakes? I mean, we don't call Peter sinking in the water Peter, or denying Jesus three times Peter. Well, what about those brothers, James and John, those sons of thunder? Those grown men who one time had their mother ask Jesus to seat them at his right and left in his glory. So why don't we call them seeking glory for themselves by getting their mom to ask for it, James and John? Now, don't get me wrong. I love these guys. Peter, James, and John were dear friends of mine. But I spent a lot of time with them, and I know their weaknesses. But did they ever get a lame nickname? No. Has their name been associated with one of their many failures for 2,000 years? Because for two millennia, I've been stuck with the name Doubting Thomas. Well, like I said, I really wasn't featured that much in Jesus' story. But my friend John did quote me four times in his gospel. The one time you're familiar with, the time I doubted Jesus. But there were a couple of other times when I said something kind of profound. There was that time when Jesus was talking about going and preparing a place for us with the Father. Of course, at the time, I didn't really know what Jesus was talking about, and so I asked him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? An honest question, but really not all that memorable, I know. But Jesus' response definitely was. He replied with those famous words to my question, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Jesus was always saying amazing things like that. Now, my question to him wasn't that profound, but man, did I give Jesus a great assist with that question. But am I remembered for that? Am I known as giving Jesus a great assist, Thomas? Nope. I'm still just Doubting Thomas. Before that, there was another time where I said something that I think deserves attention. It was the time we heard that our friend Lazarus became sick. Now, Jesus was really close to Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. But when we got word that he was sick, Jesus didn't go see him right away. We just stayed where we were for two more days. At the time, I wasn't really sure why we stayed there, but a couple of days later, Jesus decided to go see Lazarus, who by that time had died. The thing is, though, Lazarus and his sisters lived in Bethany, which is in Judea, really close to Jerusalem. And by that time, many of the Jews in that region were not too fond of Jesus. In fact, they had already tried to stone him. So when Jesus told us that we were going to return to Judea, we reminded him that the Jews there wanted to kill him, as if Jesus didn't already know that. But Jesus was insistent. He was going to see Lazarus, whether or not his own life was in danger there. In seeing Jesus' determination, I said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Pretty brave, huh? I was pretty convinced that I was willing to die with Jesus. But am I known as willing to die with Jesus, Thomas? Well, definitely not. As you know, I really wasn't all that willing to die with Jesus. And this brings us to the time where I earned my infamous nickname. I'm sure you're familiar with the story, how on a Thursday night we celebrated the Passover with Jesus. He washed our feet. He gave us his body and blood to eat and drink. We then went to the Garden of Gethsemane with him to pray. We all fell asleep and woke up to armed guards arresting Jesus. When I saw the swords and clubs, I ran away. To my utter shame, I deserted Jesus. At least Peter and John went to the high priest's house to try to do something to help Jesus. I just stayed away. The next day, Friday, I continued to hide. And Jesus was eventually crucified. I didn't even have the courage to go to see him, to be with him as he died. John was the only one of us disciples who was there. Mary and several other women were there, but not me. Needless to say, that Friday was a terrible day. Jesus, our teacher, master, and friend, was wrongfully murdered. I was heartbroken. I was ashamed. I was confused, afraid. Nothing made sense. And that Saturday was much the same. We were all hiding together behind locked doors. We were isolating ourselves from everyone else because we were afraid. We thought the Jewish leaders were going to kill us, too. And we also isolated ourselves because we were ashamed. We failed Jesus. We abandoned him. And the guilt was overwhelming. We didn't much want to be around other people. So there we were, stuck with each other in that house, drowning in our own thoughts and emotions. I'll tell you that Friday and Saturday were two of the worst days in my life. Have you ever experienced a crisis where you're stuck with just a handful of people, where you can't leave or go anywhere? It can be pretty awful. We were stuck with each other, afraid to leave or to go out, and we were miserable. And we were each about to explode with our own emotions. We were starting to get at each other, starting to get on one another's nerves. Those 2 days were awful. And Sunday started out to be much the same. We were still miserable, not eating or sleeping much. But Mary Magdalene and some of the other women we knew brought us some pretty crazy news. They'd gone out to anoint Jesus' body, but when they got there, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. And Jesus' body was gone. And then they saw two angels who told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Mary claimed that she actually saw Jesus. What in the world? I'll have to admit, I really didn't know what to make of this news. Peter and John both ran out of the house to the tomb to see for themselves. And when they came back, they reported the same news. The tomb was empty. I still didn't know what to make of any of this. None of us did. Well, we were all left to ponder over this strange news. As evening came, I actually left the house we were hiding in. I now don't remember why I left. Maybe it was to get something. Maybe it was just to get away from everyone. Well, why I left isn't all that important, but what happened while I was gone turned out to be very important. And when I returned, all the disciples were ecstatic. They were completely overjoyed. They were almost incoherent. They all kept telling me, "We have seen the Lord." What? Seen Jesus? How? They recounted to me how even though the doors were locked, Jesus just appeared among them. And then he said to them, "Peace be with you." He then showed them his hands and his side, apparently to prove that it was actually him by showing the marks of his crucifixion. Jesus then spoke to them about sending them as the Father had sent them. He breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit. And then he said some words about forgiving and withholding forgiveness. When the other disciples were telling me all this, it was all a bit much. 10 guys all blabbering nonsense. What were they talking about, seeing Jesus? How could that be? They wouldn't stop talking and kept insisting that what they were saying was true. I became so confused and overwhelmed, I finally blurted out, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And so I uttered the infamous words that earned me my infamous nickname, Doubting Thomas. "Unless I see, I will never believe." Over the years, many have argued that I was just skeptical of Jesus rising from the dead and wanted proof. Well, sure, who wouldn't doubt such a story? Others have stated that I was just being stubborn, flat out refusing to believe, that I didn't even have faith. Well, maybe. Doubt certainly doesn't come from faith, but from sin. There were actually a lot of reasons why I said what I said. We humans are complex creatures with our thoughts and beliefs and emotions. But you want to really know why I said what I said? I really just wanted to see the same thing all the other disciples got to see. I really just wanted to see Jesus with my own eyes. I wanted to see what Jesus showed the other guys, his hands and his side. I wanted to hear with my own ears Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." I just wanted to experience what everyone else got to experience. I mean, I was with the disciples before Jesus appeared, and again afterwards. Why didn't Jesus appear when I was with them? Why did he have to appear the one time I was gone? If he really did appear, why did he leave me out? That's really why I said what I said. The others claimed to have seen Jesus, but I didn't get to see him. So I just couldn't do it. I couldn't believe. I was doubting Thomas. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week passed, and it was a pretty miserable week for me. We were still afraid of the Jewish leaders, so we continued to hide. The other disciples were a mix of fear, but also joy and excitement. And I continued to doubt. I continued to long for what the others claimed to have seen. Whether or not they had actually seen Jesus, I really did want to see him. I longed to hear his voice again. But that next Sunday, my life was changed forever. Jesus again appeared to his disciples, but this time I was with them. He stood right among us, and I got to hear him say, "Peace be with you." And I'll tell you, those words spoken by Jesus turned my life around. Because when Jesus said those words, he didn't just say them, he actually gave peace to us. He gave peace to me, the one who had failed Jesus by abandoning him in the garden, the one who was nowhere to be found when he died, the one who refused to believe that he'd actually risen from the dead, the one who wanted, who needed to see Jesus in his hands and his side in order to believe. He gave peace to me, peace that melted away all my shame and failure and fear, peace that forgave me of all my sins, peace that restored my relationship with God the Father, and peace that restored my relationship with the resurrected man standing before me. Because after Jesus had said these words, he turned directly toward me. He spoke specifically to me. I got to see with my own eyes what the other disciples previously saw: his nail-marked hands and his spear-riven side. Jesus then kindly, lovingly said to me, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus had made a special appearance for me. He wanted me to see him and to see his hands and side. I then couldn't contain myself and yelled out my fourth and final quote in John's Gospel. I exclaimed to Jesus, "My Lord and my God!" I believed in Jesus. The man standing before me was my Lord and Savior. He was my God. Jesus then said to me, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." Now this is often understood as Jesus rebuking me for not believing. Well, sure, I should have believed what the other disciples told me. But remember, most of them didn't believe until they saw Jesus too. You see, Jesus wanted to appear to us. He wanted us to see him in order that we might believe. Jesus wanted us to see him again so that we would be his witnesses. He wanted us to see the resurrected Christ in order that we might witness to the world what we saw. Jesus has built his church upon our testimony that we saw Jesus risen from the dead. For as amazing as it was that I got to see the risen Jesus, as amazing as it was that Jesus appeared a second time for my sake, it wasn't just for me. It was also for your sake that Jesus saw fit to appear to me. You have heard my testimony and how Jesus appeared to me, to us, and you believe it. Jesus was talking about you when he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Because you believe that Jesus has risen from the dead but haven't seen him yet, you are blessed. You are saved. You have the same peace that Jesus gave to us. This peace has restored your relationship between you and God. This peace forgives you of your sins. This is a peace that is objectively true whether you feel it or not. It's a peace that you have regardless of any circumstances in which you find yourself. It's a peace that you have even when you are surrounded with fear and doubt, chaos and confusion, sickness and poverty. And Jesus will continue to give you his peace until you also get to see for yourself the hands and side of the risen Jesus, your Lord and your God. You know, because Jesus gave me his peace, I was able to weather many hardships in my life, because I knew that Jesus continued to be with me and that I would see him again. It's also because of that peace I've actually become okay with my infamous nickname. Jesus gave his peace even to a doubting Thomas. To Jesus who gives us peace be all the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.